Mayim Bialik in the New York Times wrote an op-ed piece, Being a Feminist in Harvey Weinstein's World. And boy, did she create a kerfuffle. You remember her as Blossom Russo in Blossom. She's also, of course, part of, the Big Bang Theory, where she has the role of Amy. She reminds us that's the number one sitcom in America. She said that as an 11-year-old kid who broke into acting on Blossom, quote, I did not look or act like other girls in my industry, and that I was immersing myself in a business that rewarded physical beauty and sex appeal above all else. Later, she says that a TV Guide critic described her as, in a review of a plot episode of Blossom, as having, quote, a shield-shaped face of mismatched features. I never recovered from seeing myself that way, she wrote. She said, I eventually left the business when I was 19 to pursue a doctorate in neuroscience at the University of California. I craved being around people who valued me more for what was inside my brain than inside my bra. After 12 years away from Hollywood, I returned to acting, largely because I had no health insurance and missed performing and making people laugh. As a non-traditional looking woman, I came back to an industry that had me auditioning for the frumpy friend or the Zaftig secretary. She said, as a proud feminist with little desire to diet, get plastic surgery, or hire a personal trainer, I have almost no personal experience with men asking me to meetings in their hotel rooms. Those of us in Hollywood who don't represent an impossible standard of beauty have the luxury, she put that in quotes, of being overlooked and in many cases ignored by men in power, unless we can make them money. I still make choices every day as a 41-year-old actress that I think of as self-protecting and wise. I have decided that my sexual self is best reserved for private situations with those I am most intimate with. I dress modestly. I don't act flirtatiously with men as a policy. In a perfect world, women should be free to act however they want, but we can't be naive about the culture. If, like me, you're not a perfect 10, know that there are people out there who will find you stunning, irresistible, and worthy of attention, respect, and love. The best part is that you do not have to go to a hotel room or a casting couch to find them, said Mayim Bialik, the star one time of Blossom and now of Big Bang Theory. So guess who wrote about that? Heidi Stevens did a hashtag MeToo piece, and she's in our studio right now to talk a little bit about it. Hi, Heidi. Thanks for coming in again.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
You read that piece, too. What was your first reaction?
I thought it was tone deaf. I thought it was conflating two very real problems, but not the same. The problem she's talking about is not the same problem as women being harassed and assaulted by predators in their industry. We're talking about Hollywood in this case, but she's talking about, you know, a sort of toxic emphasis on women's appearance. That's not the same problem as women being harassed and insulted when they're trying to do their jobs.
Well, let's talk about her first point, though. Do you at least buy into that you can be rewarded for your talents and your person, not your sexuality or your appearance, if you choose to? I mean, I do hear her saying that, don't you? I dress conservatively. She said you can find people who will reward you for who you are, not how you look.
Sure. I don't think the women who are accusing Harvey Weinstein of harassment and rape are feeling like he didn't reward them enough. I think they're saying that he harassed and raped them. So I just think she's talking about the wrong
That's
problem.
Interesting. There was no quid pro quo there. I mean, they weren't saying, okay, let's make a deal. And shame on these people that are willing to do that dance with the devil. They didn't ask to go to the dance,
no,
did they?
No, they were auditioning. They were going to business meetings. They were doing their job. And now they're alleging that in the course of that job they were trying to do, they were being harassed and in some cases raped. So it doesn't matter what they were wearing. We have no indication that they were flirting. This isn't a situation where he's saying, well, I guess I misread the cues.
Right.
No, they were walking in to talk to you about work, and then you asked them to, you know, watch you shower.
And then he comes out with the bathrobe. He had an MO, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And what she's implying is that women can avoid these things if they're deliberate enough. And I don't think that's the case. I certainly don't think that sounds like it was the case with Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then you said you were going to challenge her, her piece, and then you said, wait, the internet kind of did it.
Yeah, it kind of beat me to it.
A zillion people went, oh, huh. And then this hashtag MeToo emerged. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so her piece went online, I think, on a Friday, and then over the weekend, Alyssa Milano shared, you know, this tweet that ended up going viral. She didn't write it. She shared it, though, and it said, you know, something to the effect of, if every woman who's experienced harassment or assault put the words Me Too on their timeline, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it might help people get an idea of the scope of this problem. And women and men started to do just that immediately, right? Me Too, Me Too, Me Too. By Monday morning, Alyssa Milano's tweet alone had 40,000 replies. My timelines on all my social media feeds were filled with, you know, guys and women saying Me Too. And in some cases attaching a story to it and in some cases not. And they were a very quick and true rebuttal of what Mayim was saying in her op-ed, which I read her op-ed to say, if you do these things, you, like me, will avoid being harassed or assaulted. And a lot of these stories that were attached to the Me Too proved very quickly that it does not matter if you take the steps that she has taken. You could still be harassed or assaulted. People were sharing stories about being raped as children. A woman that I'm friends with talked about being raped by the owner of the restaurant where she waitressed while she was in seminary. I mean, these aren't situations where it's like, well, you know, it's a little gray area. These are black and white, heartbreaking stories that thousands upon thousands of men and women have.
And have been carrying around secretly for a lot.
A lot.
Many of them. And there are, though, the stories that are, some of them are sexual assault, some of them are not. Some of them are just gross, boorish behavior that nobody should have to tolerate. And there was no recourse 5 years ago or 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of those are kind of falling under the hashtag Me Too, aren't they?
Yeah. That's definitely the impression I get as well. You know, in the original message was harassment or assault, and those are different things, and as you say, nobody should be exposed to either one, but they are different things, and so some people are saying, you know, I never even considered this really to be all that bad, but yes, I have worked in situations where X, Y, and Z happen. And
how do you explain, or what do you say about the silence, though, that has been around Harvey Weinstein all along?
Yeah, I think that.
How is he able to get away with it for so long?
Well, it was written into his contract. I mean, that came out that he would be able to pay off, you know, pay settlements to women for these kinds of accusations and continue in the job he had.
Pardon me, I knew that he was doing that, but what do you mean it was in his contract?
It was in a contract. There was a story about this a couple of days ago that came out that was written into his contract, that whatever number of settlements he pays out, that is not allowed to, you know, take him down out of his position.
Really? His company, the board signed that deal with him.
That's right.
That's unconscionable. That's amazing.
I agree.
You needed me to tell you that, didn't you? But I mean, here again, I did not know that was an option. I didn't know that existed.
I know. I guess if you run the company, it's easier to get that clause. You know, I think that this, I was just talking about this at lunch with, you know, a group of people. Why is Harvey Weinstein on the cover of Time with the headline Producer, Predator, Pariah this quickly when we have seen Bill Cosby, Donald Trump, Bill Clinton,
Roger Ailes,
Anthony Weiner? I mean, man after man have similar accusations bounce off of them.
Well, all of those people suffered the price, paid the price.
How do you mean?
Cosby's life's over. Career is over. Wiener's out of a job and out of a marriage.
Cosby's accusers are saying that this stuff was happening in the 70s. I mean, he wasn't really out of a job.
Not at the time.
Right.
I'm sorry. Your point is that Weinstein's going down so quickly.
So quickly. That's my point. Yeah. That's my point. People immediately believed these women and immediately took action to get this guy out of the situations that he was placing himself in to be able to do the serial predating, alleged serial predating. Now, is that because the women's names are Ashley Judd, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie? I think it probably is.
You know, and what I asked you, which got you going in that vein, was, so I wonder why they waited so long. Did they not know one amongst the other that they were all going through it and that collectively they could bring this guy down rather than the other way around?
I don't know that they did wait so long. I mean, certainly the Ronan Farrow's piece in The New Yorker relied on the New York sting operation, you know, that happened years ago. I think women were saying for a long time, this is happening to me. I don't think people were listening for a long time. I don't think this was a situation where, I mean, some of the women are saying, okay, yeah, now that we're talking about this, yeah, me too. But this was not a case where the women were all silent up until last Thursday. This is a case where no one was listening until last Thursday.
I wonder, too, if it's not just Harvey Weinstein. I mean, he's maybe the most notable, maybe the most powerful figure in Hollywood, but there's probably a second most powerful guy in Hollywood. I wonder if he's a cad as well.
Well, yeah, the Amazon guy who just stepped down, right?
Right. Or Weinstein's brother, for
Weinstein's
that matter.
Weinstein's brother, Bob.
And then, you know, obviously the tech sector appears to be rife with sexism, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
Broadcasting's not immune to it. I suppose publishing is the same way. I just wonder how endemic it is.
I wonder that, too. And I think that's the thing that the Me Too campaign makes me feel hopeful about, is that those are some of the kinds of questions that we are going to start asking. And, you know, I think probably any industry in which women have sort of been the other, you know, they're sort of not necessarily running things. They're sort of not in a lot of the meetings. When they are there, it's a little bit of an oddity, like, oh, hey. Instead of just, okay, Susan, what's the P&L today? You know what I mean? I think that, you know, a lot of workplaces have been that way for a long time, and they're getting less so, but it takes a while. And so I think we're asking the kinds of questions now that we should have probably been asking a while.
I have to pause. I noticed at the end of your piece, you said Me Too,
mm-hmm.
and then you didn't elaborate. Do you want to?
Not that much. I elaborated a little bit more in a piece I wrote last week. It was, you know, I worked in a place where I was the only woman, and it was men who were a lot older than I was at the time. I was in my early 20s. They were a pretty vulgar group, I would say, and so I quickly figured out I should dress I guess modestly. You know, it was a super casual environment, so I'd show up in sweatshirts and jeans. And I wrote this right after Donna Karan.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. Said,
yeah,
that was amazing.
Said some, maybe some women are asking for it. She said the words asking for it with how they dress.
And then later said that was taken out of context. And I thought, well, what context? It seemed pretty clear what you meant by that.
Yeah, and I watched the video and it really wasn't taken out of context. But
really
anyway,
it wasn't.
It really wasn't at all.
You're so right about that. Hold on a second. Wait, stay right there.
Okay.
Do you mind? Do you have another minute?
Yeah, I do.
We're concluding a conversation with Heidi Stevens, balancing act in the Chicago Tribune. She wrote about the hashtag MeToo movement and really based it in part, at least she started by commenting on what Mayim Bialik wrote in the New York Times, being a feminist in Harvey Weinstein's world. Somebody just texted, and a couple calls have said this too. Do you have the text in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Here you go.
Let me read this thing. It says, hey, I think Mayim Bialik was simply stating that Hollywood only acknowledges beauty. I don't get out of what she said that dressing down like she does makes her immune to harassment. She's not saying actor dress like me keeps you out of trouble. I'm not sure what all of that about, but I think she's commenting on, I'm not sure what she's commenting on.
Well, I think Mayim said just that, the dressing like me keeps you out of trouble. I mean, she talked about how she doesn't act flirtatiously. She keeps her sexual self to herself and she dresses modestly.
That is a. It's funny coming from a woman. It's like the Donna Karen point you were making a moment ago. That does sound like victim blaming or shaming, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Yeah, that's and that was the only reason I brought up the sweatshirts or you know what I used to wear to this job is just to say that showing up at work in a sweatshirt and baggy jeans simply changed the words that the guys around me chose to use. So it was more, you know, don't you have any tight little skirts and what's on under that sweatshirt and stuff like that. That so to tell a woman that if she just wouldn't dress that way, she wouldn't be harassed is so disingenuous and so naive, willfully naive, I would say, as to really be not just not useful in this conversation, but really counterproductive.
Does it shock you that, I mean, I wonder what is it with these guys? I mean, really, so you became successful. Were you that way all along? And then when you get to the top, you just think rules don't apply. It's like Donald Trump. When you're famous, when you're a star, you get away with it. And even if it feels like that's possible, what is it with these guys that were raised in a way that they would then take advantage of that if that's how they perceive it to be at the top?
I can't figure that out. I don't know. I got an email from a guy this morning who didn't like my column, and he said, you know, explain to me why women try to make themselves attractive in the first place then. Which is really interesting that someone would have that question. And I wrote him back, and I don't always. But, you know, he didn't call me any names or... Anyway, I wrote him back, and I said, I mean, for the same reason that men try to make themselves attractive. I mean, women aren't standing up and saying, I don't want any dates, I don't want a partner, I don't want any love interest in my life, I want to be left alone. We just want to be left alone by the Harvey Weinsteins. I mean, do you want to watch Harvey Weinstein shower?
No, I don't.
So you're not saying I never want anyone to find me attractive. I don't want love. I would hate to go on a date. You want to pick and choose who touches you, right? And makes comments to you. And why is that such a foreign concept? Men go through life with that comfort level, knowing that people aren't going to come up and grab their junk if they don't want to. So women should be afforded that same respect and also be allowed to make themselves attractive without that seeming like some kind of
contradiction.
Right?
Well, then why did you wear the skirt?
Then why? Yeah. Why are you pretty?
Heidi Stevens' balancing act is in today's Chicago Tribune. Nice to see you again, Heidi. Thanks for saying hi.
Thanks for having me.